Good morning, and welcome to our monthly contemplative service. This is a time, as you know, to slow down, to rest, and to soak in things that we've learned together. Maybe a few new things as well, or things that you've been considering on your own. And one thing I'd like to say is that I prepared something this morning, but if something else is on your mind, ignore what I say and pay attention to that. Sometimes God does that. He just waits for you to have a time to sit, and then he gets quite chatty. So if he's doing that with you this morning, feel free to ignore me entirely. But for those of you that's not happening, then you can pay attention. Couple housekeeping things. Today at the end of the service, we'll be taking communion. And here at Liminal, all are invited and welcome at the table. At the end of the service, the ushers will come forward, and I will invite you to come forward to receive communion if you'd like to do so. When you're ready, you'll walk up the center aisles. They're not exactly in the center. That always kind of bothers me. But the two aisles that are more in the center, you'll take a cracker or a piece of bread and a cup, and the usher will pour juice, which is non-alcoholic, into the cup. And then you'll use the outer aisles to return to your seat so that we don't have a traffic jam. And then in your own time when you're ready, you'll eat the cracker and drink the juice. And after the service, there'll be a place outside where you can leave your cup. And if you are in a place this morning where it is difficult for you to get up and come forward to communion, but you would like to partake of it, if you could just wave your hand and let me know, either I or one of the ushers will come serve you directly. Well, this morning, for our contemplative service, we're going to be doing a spiritual practice called imaginative prayer, or an imaginative reading of Scripture. And this practice is designed to help you enter into a story and come face to face with God, to hear God's words and experience His love. Now, I'm going to be mom here for a few minutes, and I'm going to go off script, which is always a dangerous thing. I have this feeling that many, if not most, of the ills of this world are because people have a false narrative that has been placed upon them by others. Someone told them they weren't good enough, wise enough, smart enough, pretty enough. Someone told them they were deficient, broken. And we believe that, and it becomes a part of our core identity. And then, sadly, many people choose to pay that forward onto the next generation. And so we have generations upon generations of brokenness being perpetrated and continued and foisted on others. It's not how it was meant to be. We have a new identity in Christ. And that's what this morning is all about. To take a deep look at it. And some might think that the exercise that I have prepared is a little cheesy and you can find it on a Facebook meme. And that, in a sense, is true. Unless you choose to engage in it and to really let it sink into your soul. So that's what I invite you to this morning, to walk past the silliness of this imagination thing can't possibly work, because it does. I've spent 70 of my 72 years of life living under a false narrative, being the discarded one, being an adopted person. And in the last 2 years, I have come to a new narrative that has made all the difference and has changed the person that I am and changed how I react with everyone that I meet. So I'd like to invite you to the same thing. For some, using your imagination seems childish. And while I wonder to myself, why is that a bad thing? Perhaps you've let your imagination grow rusty over the years. Well, this morning is an opportunity to dust that off and to see what gifts it might have for you. For others, using your imagination seems dangerous. I know growing up in the churches I grew up in, there was this great concern that if you use your imagination that Satan will sneak in and take over your body and all of this nonsense. Well, I've got a theory about that. Seems to me that if we enter into Scripture with the idea of meeting God, that that's exactly what's going to happen. And I believe that God, who desires more than anything to meet with us, is going to guard that time jealously. Because there's nothing he likes more than spending time with you, each and every one of you, because you're his beloved child. So I think we can safely put aside any fears that our imagination or dark forces are going to overpower our Almighty God and take away our time together, can't we? And for some, we live so much in our rational world that using our imagination has lost its value. But here's what C.S. Lewis has to say about that. I am a rationalist. For me, reason is the natural organ of truth. But imagination is the organ of meaning. Imagination is not the cause of truth, but its condition. I love that. And you can see how that played into his life, where he, a rationalist, was able to write the Narnia series. The ushers are not here. Would you tell them it's time to do their thing? We'll just take a brief pause here. You can think about the things that I've said already. Hi, ushers. The ushers will be passing out a sheet of paper, and I'm going to ask you to use all your self-control not to look at it until directed to do so. And because I don't truly trust any of you, I would ask you to put it under your chair. That way it won't be a temptation. Some of you are putting it on the chair next to you. You know your eyes are going to look at it. I'll call you out. This is for later, but I don't want it to be a distraction having it passed out at that point. So anyway. Well, let's start out this morning by allowing our bodies and minds to slow down a bit. There's been a lot going on in our world, a lot going on the news. Most of it unsettling, I would imagine. So find a comfortable position. Perhaps put your feet on the floor. If yours reach, mine don't. Lean against the chair back. Take a few deep breaths. Breathe in through your nose. Breathe out through your mouth. And inhale so deeply that your chest expands. As you continue taking slow, deep breaths, allow your mind to slow down. Let go of your thoughts and worries for this hour. If you need to pick them up at the door, they'll be there. You can pick them up again, but maybe you won't want to. Release the tension in your body. Take a moment to just do a quick body scan and see where you might be holding tension. Concentrate on putting your breath there and letting it go, letting the stress flow from your muscles. Continue taking slow, deep breaths. And as you do so, turn your hands over, palms down, and imagine that the things that you've been carrying fall to the floor. All those things that weigh you down, things that worry you, your to-do list, none of that matters for the next hour. So let them drop to the floor and imagine them being swept away by a gentle stream. Let go of the things that bring you emotional pain or discomfort. Trust them to the stream and let them go. after letting these things go, turn your hands palms up. And this represents your readiness to enter into an imaginative prayer and receive the things that God might have for you. We'll conclude this time of letting go and receiving with your own silent prayer, offering yourself to God and asking God to guide and direct you through this experience. Let's pray together. You in an imaginative prayer exercise that will involve a short reading. And I'll be reading it slowly with a few pauses here and there that will allow you the time to enter into the story. If it helps you to stay present in the story, feel free to close your eyes, but you don't need to. If that's uncomfortable for you, I'd rather you had your eyes open. Our imaginative exercise is inspired by Matthew 16, 13 through 16. And for this, I'd like you to try to imagine yourself in the story, picturing the sights and the sounds and the smells you might encounter, the scenery that would be around you. Imagine a time of day that seems right to you, what the sun might feel like as it rises, as it's overhead. As you walk along the road, perhaps you feel the sun on your shoulders or on the back of your head. Or maybe it's sunset. Whatever feels right to you. Imagine if there's clouds in the sky. Is it overcast? Is the sky blue and clear? Maybe the clouds are large and puffy. Maybe there's a gentle breeze or a wind or even a gentle rain. Now imagine that you are heading down the road from Jerusalem to Galilee with Jesus and his disciples. What do they look like? How are they dressed? You know it's going to take most of the day to get to Galilee. It's a long journey. In fact, it's a full day's journey. Of course, Peter is at the lead of the group, as you might expect. The rest of you are bunched up, following along behind. You hear quiet conversation. Once in a while, you'll hear laughter, but mostly the conversations are quiet, and sometimes it dies out into silence. There's no sense of rush. You have all day to get to Jerusalem, and there's nothing to do but to walk. The way is made by walking. And as you walk along, you notice that Jesus has fallen a little way behind the group, and he's walking by himself. You decide to drop back and walk with him for a while. Rather than turning, you slow your pace. Little by little, soon you and Jesus are walking side by side. You walk together in silence for a few minutes. There's much you want to say, but there are no words. Jesus finally breaks the silence. He calls you by name. Imagine what it would sound like to hear Jesus pronounce your name. Your mind goes blank for a moment, and you stare back helplessly because no words will form on your lips. Jesus doesn't mind. He waits. And then he asks you gently, "Would you like to talk to me about something?" Maybe something has come to your mind now that you would like to talk to Jesus about. And if so, I again want to give you permission to do that. And just tune out the rest of what I'm going to say. But if nothing comes to mind, or if you're curious, I'll move on. You remember a prior conversation with Jesus and the disciples when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" We all know Peter's answer. "You are the Christ, the Holy One of God." But you pause for a moment and you wonder. And then you decide to ask that very question of Jesus. Even though it seems strange as the question forms on your lips, you say, "Jesus, who do you say that I am?" Jesus smiles and perhaps even chuckles a bit. And then he says, "That's a great question. And I'll answer you. But before I do, I want you to sit down, close your eyes, listen very closely to my answer. Don't worry about the disciples. We'll catch up with them eventually. This is important. All that I say to you is true. I want you to pay special attention to the words I use to describe you. The ones that you really like, as well as those that you have trouble believing. Remember, every word I say is true of you. Now sit down, close your eyes, and listen with your whole heart, as well as with your mind and with your ears. You are chosen and dearly loved by God. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are God's child, prized and treasured. You are my friend. You're forgiven everything, past, present, and future. You are and always will be loved by God and by me. You are the temple of God because God dwells in you. And you are a new creation, a new person. You are an heir of God. You are God's workmanship, a masterpiece, unique in all the world. You are righteous and holy, and in you there is no flaw. You are the chosen one of God. You are dearly and uniquely loved by God. You belong to God, and God belongs to you. You are one who will always be with me. And you are a source of delight to God. I would like you to take the papers out from underneath your chairs now. On one side, I've written the words of Jesus to you. And on the other, I've posed a few questions for you to consider. First, read the words of blessing to yourself, but substitute the "you are"s to "I am." Read it slowly. Let it sink all the way down to your toes, but most importantly, let it sink deep into your heart. And when you've had time to let these words sink in, turn the page over and begin answering the questions. You don't have to answer all of them, or any of them for that matter. The point of this exercise is to take time to process the reality of who you are in God's eyes and allow it to sink in deeply and heal and reform your image of self. We'll take maybe 15 minutes or a little longer for this exercise, and then I'll come back up and we'll take communion together. Okay? wonder if that was difficult for you. It was for me. Even though I prepared it, as I went through the words, it felt like these are too good to be true. There's got to be a catch. There's a bait and switch somewhere. Because these are not words that I have grown up with, either having been spoken over me or that I believed of myself. But they're true. And they are truer than the reality that I have experienced. I'd like to invite the ushers forward for communion. These words are so true that Jesus staked his life on them. And as we enter into communion today, I want you to carry these words with you and wear them as a cloak of your identity as you come forward to receive communion. It was for the joy set before him that Christ endured the cross. And that joy is our freedom and taking on the identity that he conferred upon us. So let us enter into that joy. Later, Jesus again entered Jerusalem, this time on the back of a donkey. He was surrounded by a cheering crowd who spread palm branches on the ground in front of him, shouting, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And once again, Jesus withdrew from the crowd along with his disciples, and he went to an upper room where they could be alone together. I'd like to think that if we were there, he would have invited us there as well. I think he would. He certainly invites us this morning. There they ate dinner together. And Jesus, knowing that the crucifixion lay before him, on that very night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you." And when he gave thanks, he said, "Eat it in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup and said, "Whoops." Sorry. He didn't say whoops. But he would have, and if he had, they would have laughed together, okay? He said, "This is the cup that is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and as often as you drink it, remember me. Remember what I've said. Remember what I've done. Remember how I love you." Holy Lord, we do remember you. Remember the things that you've done and said. We remember that, as hard as it may seem at times, you love us with an unquenchable love. And we know that you are present here with us this morning, just as you were with the disciples in that upper room. For these gifts, for your sacrifice, and for your love, we thank you. You may come forward to the table when you're ready. Thank you for joining us this morning. I hope you were able to connect with God in some way this morning, that the words spoken over you will take root and grow deep. It might help to read the words aloud to yourself. And maybe process them more deeply with a spiritual director or a therapist or with a dear friend, a family member. Sometimes speaking truth out loud makes it more true in your soul. The service has ended, but if you want to take some time in this quiet space to continue your processing, feel free to do so. There's no rush. And for those of you who wish to leave or who want to enter into conversation with someone else, feel free to do that out in the coffee bar or in the front area. We want to respect the quietness of this space and give room for anyone who wants to sit in silence. We are a new creation. We are the new creation that we were made to be. We are the masterpiece of God, who lovingly, with strokes of paint and a vision of what we could be, to bring light into the world, prepared each brushstroke with the idea that we would be a blessing to all who see us. And even more so, that we would see what he sees in us when we look in the mirror. What would it be like if we believed that? What could we be if we saw the truth of who we are? Thanks again for joining us this morning. May God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and give you peace now and forever.